We'll be in Luke chapter 14. As you can see, we're in a series simply entitled Count Me In. Thank you guys so much for all of you who last week got in part or became a part of one of our volunteer teams. We so appreciate that. Those that you signed up for, the team you signed up for, beginning it, hopefully they already have gotten in contact with you. If they have not, come see me and I can direct you to the right person. You know, one of the big things that we talk about here at Bethel all the time is knowing about what you are stepping into. Knowing what you are stepping into. We talk about here a lot how you should never attend a church, or you should never keep coming to a church or be part of a church unless you know what they believe about Jesus, how they see this word, what their values are, what their vision is, where they're going as a church. This is why we strongly encourage you here at Bethel to be a part of Starting Point. And this warning really does not come from us, but it comes from Jesus. Jesus, as we're going to see here today in Luke chapter 14, he warns us that you and I, before we step into following him, before we step into the kingdom of God, Jesus asks us to do something. He says, I want you to count the cost. Before you say, Jesus is really going to tell us here today, before you say, count me in, I want you to make sure that you understand clearly what following me, what being my disciple is all about. See, here's a great question for us this morning. If we're going to count the cost, what does it mean to do that? Or better yet, how do we, think about it, calculate the cost? If Jesus tells me that I have to count the cost before I decide to follow him, then how do we, or how do you and I discern the cost? How do I count the cost in advance when I don't know what the cost will be? None of us here today knows what's going to happen in our life. We don't know the future. So how do I know what the cost is going to be? If Jesus is asking us to count the cost, then how do I know, because I can't predict the future, how do I know what the cost will be? This is exactly what we're going to find out. Jesus is going to answer what I think is a very, very important question. Because a lot of people will say, Jesus, I want to follow you. But a month later, we're looking around, where are they? You've been there, right? Or you know people like that. Maybe you are like that. I want Jesus, let's just say Jesus, not just me, but Jesus wants to make sure that you and I understand what it means to follow him, what it means to be his disciple, what it means to count the cost. Luke chapter 14. Here we go. You ready for this? Now, great crowds accompanied him. There was always a lot of people following Jesus. But it seems like Jesus was always trying to get the people to stop following him. Look what he says here. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate. Wow. Here we have this nice Jesus. This Jesus that seems like he's loving all the time, using the word hate. He who does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children. Now this doesn't seem like the Jesus we talk about a lot, does it? Brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man or this woman began to build and was not able to finish. What king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation to ask for terms of peace. Again, this is Jesus. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. To find the answer to our question, how do I discern? Or how do I calculate what the cost is to be a disciple? It's found right here in Luke chapter 14 in the verses that we read. And it comes a couple of verses before and after Jesus talking about you and I counting the cost. Many times we get stuck and we cannot see what Jesus wants us to see. Because on the surface, when we first read this, what Jesus is saying looks pretty terrible. Jesus, you're telling me that in order to follow you, I have to hate, and this is what we get stuck on, I have to hate my father, my mother, my wife, my husband, my children. Now, for some of us, this might be pretty easy because we don't have a good relationship with mother, father, wife, husband. So you're thinking, well, this is easy. But for most of us, this is difficult. It seemed very difficult. This is really, though, as you look at this, not about father and mother. It's not about our relationship with them. It's really about discipleship, and it's really about following Jesus. Here's the thing I love about Jesus, and something that you and I, we should all appreciate about him, is he always communicates to us very clearly the fine print that we oftentimes miss when it comes to following him. Jesus wants to help us understand the fine print of what it means to be his disciple. He makes it so clear to us. Now, if you're like me, you hate the fine print that many times is not communicated to us. For instance, maybe you're getting a hotel, and on Thursday night, the price is one price, but they don't tell you when Friday and Saturday comes, what does the price do? It increases. And you get upset, don't you? I know I do. Because we all want to know, what is the fine print? What am I purchasing? What am I getting myself into? Jesus is not like this. He wants you and I to know what we are getting involved in when we say, Jesus, count me in. He doesn't want us to sign up and be surprised later of what the cost will be. Jesus makes it very clear. He starts here in verse 26. He says, again, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, cannot be my disciple. Jesus' intent here is to get our attention. Jesus is not trying to be funny. He's not trying to be witty. He's even not trying to be nice. His intention, hear me, is this. He wants to hurt our feelings when he says this. Jesus is using extreme language. This is some of the most extreme language that Jesus could possibly use to get our attention. Notice who he is telling us that we should hate. Those that are closest to us, our mother, our father, wife, husband, children. This causes us to ask the question, does Jesus really want me to hate those that I love the most? Why would Jesus choose to use the word hate? He's not saying that we should be hostile towards our family. Jesus is not using the word hate in the normal sense of how many times we use this word. When we use the word hate, it's being hostile to someone. But hate here, hear me, does not mean hate actively, but it means hate comparably. Jesus is telling us, I want you to love me. See, what he's doing here is he's taking every kind of love there is, love for family, affectionate love, love that we have for our children, love and friendship. And he's saying to us, I want you to love me like that. This is what Jesus is talking about here. He doesn't want this kind of love that many times we have because we're stirred by a song that we sing, or we're stirred by a message that we hear, or we're stirred by a book that we read. He's not looking for that. He wants a love as real as you may have for your husband, your wife, or your child. Something that is passionate. Something that is real. Jesus is saying here, I want you to love me like that. See, Jesus could have said this. He could have said as he was going through this, he could have simply said, hey, I want you to put me first in your life. I want to be first place. I want you to put me first above every other relationship. But that's not what he says. He says, I want you to love me. He means I want interaction. I want communication. Jesus is saying, I want affection. I want emotion from you. Now, friends, this is remarkable. Jesus is using these important relationships in our life to show us what the cost will be. That the cost to follow him, the cost to be his disciple is extreme. If you want to follow Jesus, then you're going to pay. Again, Jesus wants us to understand the fine print. You're going to pay a high price. Now, for the men and women listening to this, the men and women that Jesus is speaking to, at that time, family life, everything revolved around the family. In this time period that Jesus is speaking here, it's a little bit different than today. But for them, everything revolved around family. You would never disgrace your family. You would never move away from your family. You would never marry someone. Now, I still think this is a great principle. Unless your family was in agreement. My children better make sure I'm in agreement they're going to marry anyone. They never would do that. Family was everything to them. Jesus knew this. He knows that a person's agenda, or another way of saying it, what they lived for was tied to the family's agenda or what the family lived for. Jesus is looking at the normal agenda here at a person's life, and he's saying this to them, and he's saying the same thing to you and I. He's saying, don't you dare. Again, this nice, loving, many times Jesus, we think are never going to offend us, never going to harm us, is saying, don't you dare come to me with your agenda and try to somehow fit me in. Your plans, your agenda. Jesus is telling us here, I will not be used. This is many times of what we try to do. Jesus, my marriage is messed up. Please come save it. Jesus, my children are messed up. Please come help me. Many times we follow Jesus because what he can do for us. Jesus is saying here, I will not be used. Don't you come to me to get something from me. Come to me for who I am. Jesus is serious about what he's talking about. He's saying the only way he wants you to come to him is for him himself. See, here's the thing that many times we forget about when we serve Jesus. That all this nice, loving Jesus, this Jesus, we think many times, we think that he's very predictable. If I ask him to do something, then I expect him to do it. And many times Jesus does because he does love us and he cares for us and he wants to meet our needs, and we can so easily think that he's just simply at my beck and call. Whatever I need Jesus to do, I just got to ask in his name and he will do it. Yes, Jesus is nice. Yes, Jesus answers our prayers. But did you also know that this Jesus is fierce? That this Jesus is powerful? If you've never watched the Narnia series, man, I encourage you. You need to watch them. You need to watch them with your children. These books were, and they became movies, were written by a former atheist by the man named C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis gave his life to Christ, wrote these books, and they are a picture of Christ and what he has done for you and I. The lion in the movie is named Aslan. And I love this scene that I'm about to show you, because Aslan was not a tame lion. He was untamed. He was bold. He was confident. And here we have this scene where Mr. Tumnus and this young little girl, he's explaining to him who this Jesus really is. Let's check out this video clip.
Don't worry. We'll see him again.
When?
In time. One day he'll be here, and the next he won't. But you mustn't press him. After all, he's not a tame lion.
No. But he is good.
You need it more than I do.
I love that. He's not a tame lion. But her response to that is what? But he is good. There's another scene in this movie where Mr. Beaver is speaking to another main character by the name of Susan. And Susan is very nervous about meeting Aslan because she thought that he was a man. And she finds out in this scene that he is a lion. And she asks Mr. Beaver, is he safe? And I love Mr. Beaver's response. She says, safe? Of course, he is not safe. But he goes on to say, but he's good because he is the King. This is our Jesus. This is the Jesus that is calling you and I to follow him. Jesus is not predictable. Jesus is not a tame lion. Will following Jesus be safe? No, the answer is no. Again, fine print, Jesus is telling us. Following Jesus, friends, is not safe. Will you be persecuted if you follow Jesus? Yes. Will you have to surrender your dreams and goals, your will, your desire, your agenda? Yes. But the good news is, he is good. He's good. This untamed good lying is telling us here in Luke 14. Don't come to me because I can give you something. He's calling us to come to him for himself. This is so important. This is what allows us to overcome the things that we face in this life, to overcome disappointment, to overcome suffering, to overcome hardship. Because if you think that by serving Jesus, everything is going to be okay, you're going to get disappointed, discouraged, and say, well, this Christianity stuff doesn't work. This is why Christ wants you to understand the fine print. There will be hardship. There will be a high price to pay. You could lose your loved one. You could get terminally ill. But the good news is, he's good. He's good. He's good, and he has good things prepared for every single one of us. Now, if this was not enough, Jesus continues in verse 27. Whoever does not bear his own... Like, this wasn't enough, Jesus. He goes on. Whoever does not bear his own cross, man, and come after me cannot be my disciple. If this, friends, is not just a metaphor that Jesus is using here. He's literally telling us, are we willing to die an excruciating death? He's asking us for him. He's basically saying, join me on the way to martyrdom. Now, I know this is gory, but this is a part of following Jesus that no one wants to talk about. That this is something, especially in today's world that we live in, that we need. When Jesus said this to us, that we should carry our cross, you know what he's telling us? He's telling us that trouble is on its way. We are in trouble. Cross carrying means that you're in trouble. It's on its way. Trouble is unavoidable when carrying your cross and following Jesus. People are not going to like you when you follow Jesus. Everything's not going to go the way you want when you follow Jesus. This is his warning to you and I. He's trying to give us the fine print. It's going to cost you something to follow me, to follow him. Following Jesus means you'll pay a high price relationally, but also physically. Again, the fine print is being read to us today. So the question becomes, do you still want to follow him? Do you still want to say, Jesus, count me in? I'm willing to do it. You know, this same question was actually posed to the disciples. In John 6, Jesus wanted to make it clear to these men and women what it was going to take to follow him. If you want to follow him, or Jesus said to his disciples, you want to follow me? He uses the grossest thing to try to scare them away. He said, then you must, in John 6, eat my flesh. Remember I told you? There'd be a lot of people around Jesus, but he's always trying to get rid of them. You got to eat my flesh, what Jesus tells them, and drink my blood. Remember, we serve an untamed lion. The Bible tells us that when Jesus made this statement, that many people walked away from Jesus that day. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? For some of them that heard that statement, the cost was too high for them. The price was too much. They were willing to say, it cost me too much. I can't do this. I'm going to walk away. I love what Jesus does. Jesus turns to his disciples. He looks at them and he says, do you want to leave as well? Meaning, I've given you the fine print. This is what it takes to follow me. Are you going to walk away just like everybody else has walked away? And what they say is so remarkable. What they say, their response to Jesus' question, do you want to walk away as well, is what cross-carrying, dying to self, people not liking you, what makes all of that profitable. You know what their statement was? Or their answer to Jesus' question? They said, where would we go? You, Jesus, have the words of eternal life. What were they saying? They were saying, Jesus, you are enough. You're enough. It's not about what I can get from you, Jesus. You simply, being in relationship with you, it was enough for them. See, for them, it was not about trying to fit Jesus into their agenda. Not trying to fit Jesus into their goals. It was about Jesus and following him simply because of who he was. They knew the answer to our very first question. Remember the very first question we asked? How do we count the cost in advance when we don't know what the cost will be? They had already assumed, hear me, these men and women had already assumed up front that the cost would be total. They assumed up front that I'm going to die physically. Following him is going to lead me to death. They assumed that's going to happen if I follow him. For them, they knew if I'm going to follow this man, I've got to give up all of my possessions, all of my relationships, and more than likely, my own life. For them, they knew it's going to cost me everything. Friends, let me tell you something. This is not Christianity 2.0. This is Christianity 1.0. This is what Christ following is all about. This is not for the elite Christian. This is every person that says, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. It's going to cost you everything. They did not need to know the specifics of the cost. Just simply belonging to Jesus was more than enough for them. And that's powerful. See, for them, it was never, well, if the cost reaches this, then I'm out. They renounced everything. They sacrificed everything. Jesus, whatever you want, it belongs to you. That's my hope for us today. Pastor Ron, you come up, play for me, champion, as we close here. My hope for us today, or Jesse, come on up. My hope for us today is that we all desire to love Jesus and follow him like this. See, where does though, because I believe we all have this kind of heart. And if we don't, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to give this kind of passion to follow Jesus like this. But there's a problem. The problem is none of us, including myself, has the power to do this. None of us. This stuff that we're talking about is heavy stuff. And all of us need God's grace and his power to do this. And it's so easy to miss here as we're reading Luke 14. It's so easy to miss where the power comes from. Because as you read this, it seems like Jesus is putting all the weight on us, saying, you have to do this in order to follow me. Hate those who love you, who you love. Bear your cross. Count the cost. Renounce everything. It looks like it's all up to us and that you and I have to do this in our own strength. Truth is, we can't. I cannot do any of this that Jesus is asking me to do in my own strength. So where's the power come from? Where's the strength come from? When Jesus said, take up your cross, yes, it does mean that we have to die to self. But you know what it also means? It also means, here comes the power. It also means that we live in the power of the shadow of the cross. The good news for us today, and this is where the power comes from, is we live in the shadow of what Jesus has already done for us. That's good news. Meaning, I get the wonderful privilege of living in the fullness of what Jesus has done for me. Living in the shadow of the cross means I now know my position in Christ. And my position in Him gives me the power each and every day to wake up, to say, Jesus, today I choose to follow you. Jesus, today I choose to carry my cross. Jesus, I've counted the cost, and I want to follow you, this untamed, good lion, wherever you may lead. Each and every day, we don't know what's ahead. We don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what the cost will be tomorrow. But we know He's good, don't we? He's good. And we know that we live in the shadow of what Christ has already done for me. I know my position in Him, and it empowers me that no matter what turmoil, what trouble, what cross may come my way, I'm going to keep my eyes on Him and follow Him wherever He takes me. Amen. Father, I pray that over us today. Lord, today, Lord, you're giving us the fine print of what it means to follow you. Lord, if there's things in our heart that have said, Jesus, I will follow you if you do this. If this doesn't happen, God, I pray that those would be removed. We repent of those kind of statements. Today, we're like the disciples. We're all in. We're saying, count me in, Jesus. Lord, thank you that you're revealing to us this is what overcomes disappointment. This is how we overcome discouragement. This is how we overcome the setbacks, the difficulties of life, the pain that we go through. that we're in this thing for you and you alone. Not what we can get, but simply to be in relationship with you. Holy Spirit, examine us. If there's our own agendas, if there's our own will, our own way, remove it this morning. Let us follow you for you alone, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a big hand clap this morning. Thank you, Lord.